Psalm 12. That is Psalm 12 in your Bibles, and we'll read through the entire psalm. Follow along silently as we read Psalm 12. Psalm 12, the Bible reads, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Brother Bill, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the word. Thank you for the songs. Still, Brother Horn, the Holy Ghost, the priest Paul. And thank you for our ability to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm back. I wasn't sure I was going to be doing this, but pastor needed us to step in. And, you know, when my motto is just like, if he asks, I'm just going to say yes. You know, it's like, and I think that it's a blessing. I know there's not as many people usually at the night service, but I do think that, you know, hearing the word of God preached, it shows that you are faithful when you're here, but it also increases your faith. So it's a faithfulness thing, and then it's an increase of faith too, because faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And so we're here to preach the word of God. Psalm 12. I'm not going to read just a specific verse just because I'm just going through this psalm for this sermon. But I do want to still thank Pastor Thompson. We're grateful, as all of you, I'm sure, are grateful too, that we have this great church that we can go to, that we can be sent out to preach the gospel. We've got salvation today, so that's a blessing. You know, and if we wouldn't have gathered today and went out, that person wouldn't be on their way to heaven today. So that's awesome that the angels in heaven are rejoicing when one person even is gotten saved. So we will go through just this. I just thought that would be an easy thing to do, kind of, you know, just going through this a short chapter in the Bible. I have had to do that before when I've had to do kind of a sermon on short notice. So that's what we're going to do. But let me just say a quick prayer first. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you again, Lord, for the word of God. And just thank you that you would use us men to preach it, Lord. I just pray that you fill me up with your spirit, Lord, and the congregation as well, Lord, and that you would bless our church and Pastor and Miss Sherry. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go through this verse by verse. So this will be, you know, Sunday night. It will be kind of like a little bit of a Bible study, and it's a short one too. So, you know, not that I'm trying to get you all out of here fast, but, you know, it is hot out, you know, and I'm sure if you all went soul winning, especially you moms, you're probably tired. But if I were to name this, I wouldn't have come up with one, but Brother Ryland was nice enough to come up with one for me. So it's Shield of Protection. And, you know, the Bible is a shield of protection for us. Like, we talked a little bit about that this morning. And so I do think that's a pretty good name. You know, I think he got it from Gemini, so the Grok counterpart. But let's just start right there at the beginning. And I don't know if in your Bible it starts out where it says, "To the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David." But mine does. I know that we don't necessarily always read that part of it. But I do think it's important to note that, you know, this is a songbook. You know, we sing the psalms, which I think is great. We sing out to the Lord every service. Like, that's part of getting filled with the Spirit, is that we sing the word of God. And it's a great blessing. You know, I think that, like, when people don't sing, they're missing out. You know, I think that it's just a beautiful thing to hear the word of, or not the word of God, but there's a lot of doctrine, but just to hear us singing out to the Lord. I think it's an awesome thing. And even if it is a joyful noise, I always get so tickled when I see Zacchaeus so excited to sing and to, you know, raise his hand. I mean, he's practically breaking his arm over there in the corner, and he's not really seen, but man, he is excited to get a song in. And when you hear the kids sing, it's just like so awesome. It's just so beautiful. You know, he's all excited. He's like, what book are we, red or the blue? You know, he's just like, which one is it? You know, and I tell on the last one, I'm like, it's Psalm. It's like, told him what the psalm it was. And he's just like, he knows where to go. He's going in his psalm book. And it's like, and all the kids are like that too. You know, they're singing along. And I just think That is so awesome. It'd be nice, like I always, when you hear like other churches where they have the kids, kind of a microphone on wherever the kids are sitting, they must do that. I love that. Because I'm sure if we all love that and we love hearing kids sing, that how much more does God love that? And how much more as his children does he love hearing us sing? And I just think that's it's a great ministry. It's a great thing that we should be doing, you know, singing out to God. And, you know, and that's all of it, right? I mean, it's a shield of protection, but that means all of it, not just the good stuff, you know, or the stuff that's easy on the ears. You know, I always think it's pretty funny when like half the time we sing the psalm where it's like, do not I hate them, Lord, that hate thee, or, you know, hate them with a perfect hatred. And, like, there's always somebody new here, you know, and it's like God does that on purpose. He wants to test, are we going to sing it the same way that we sing the good, you know, the easy on the ear stuff, or, you know, when Jesus loves me and things like that. All those are great to sing too, but like, you know, you kind of see them and sometimes you can kind of like, oh, you're overthinking it because you're like, man, what are these people thinking when they see the kids like screaming out, do not, I hate them. You know, it's like, hey, but that's the word of God, you know, and we should love the word of God. It's a shield of protection for us, but, you know, you got to believe all of it. You got to preach all of it, in season, out of season, the Bible says, right? And so that's important to note that these psalms are songbooks to God, and there's a lot of stuff in them. There's a lot of meat in the psalms. They're just beautiful to read when you're going through tough times. We've talked about that before, but it's just a awesome book of the Bible that just shows you why David was a man after God's own heart. And you know, if you love the Psalms, all of them like that, then that puts us in that same position. If you love the Word of God, if you love to hear it, you know, and if you want to sing it out and you want to study it and you want to memorize it, you know, we could be men and women after God's heart as well. And then, so it starts out though, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And, you know, that's why I pointed that out too early, is that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you show up to church, it's important. And I know, you know, I feel like maybe I beat that drum a little too much, but, you know, no one will ever be able to persuade me otherwise of the importance of church, of the importance of coming to church, regardless if you have to, you know, labor through hearing me preach. You know, it doesn't matter. God, it's an expectation of God for us, you know, and we are stewards to God. And he is looking for, you know, what we do. What do we just hear this stuff and not believe it? Well, to show that you believe it is based on your actions. So there's where your works are important. They're not important for your salvation, but they are important that other people would see that you are a believer. They would see that you have a full faith, that you do not have a dead faith, but that you have a very alive faith. And we want to be that type of Christian. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Let a man so account us. Now, I do want to point out, too, that the us there is talking about saved Christians at church, okay? You know, because the chapter before that makes it clear that, you know, that chapter 4 is talking about divisions in the church. It's talking about us being laborers one with another, that we're God's husbandry, we're his building, you know, you know, we shouldn't be like saying, oh, I'm of Pastor Shelley, I'm of Pastor Anderson, right? I'm of Pastor Thompson. You know, we're all one in Christ, but we're laborers together. And that us, it's not just talking about like the apostles, right? It's talking about saved people. We're his husbandry, we're his building. And again, that just screams to the importance of church, that we're one in Christ, the body of Christ, right? He's head over the church, you know, and it's that us is important. It's all of us. It's us in this room, right? And, you know, it's sad too when people will kind of take sides, especially when they start, you know, screaming out like either railing type accusations or things. I mean, I saw a post recently, I don't even want to mention the name, but this pastor said that there's nobody that's saved left in the new IFB. Which, what an incredibly wicked and railing type of an accusation to make, right? And it's somebody that's just constantly against Pastor Anderson, you know, and it's, he basically said that, like, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't show forth in our ministry. I don't see that at all. I don't see that in the people that I go to church with, the, you know, celebrating the singing of the psalms and of the hymns and of the spiritual songs of the people that go out and preach the gospel faithfully, that they'll come to church on a hot day and go out preaching the gospel on a hot day. You know, when there's plenty of other things that you could do, you know, if you're not spirit-filled and wanting to do the things of God, right? It's a wicked thing. I mean, we sung Psalm 15. If anyone was looking in their psalm book, says Pastor Anderson there. He wrote that psalm for us. He didn't obviously write the lyrics of it, but he wrote the music to it so that we can sing a psalm right now, you know, in the English language when it was obviously a little bit different when it was in the original language. So, yeah, there's a lot of fruit to the ministry that is in the churches that we go to in our own church, and we should celebrate that too because we are one in Christ. We shouldn't be backbiting and against one another, right? If you go on to read, it says, let a man so count us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. See, we're stewards, the Bible says. We're meant to be like those Masoretes in a way where they were very diligent to preserve the word of God. Well, we should be diligent to actually, you know, be the ministers of Christ to preach the gospel faithfully, attend church faithfully, do the things that God says that a man is faithful in doing, right? Where you are diligent to just love and want to do the things of God. And then it says in verse 2, moreover, and this is pretty important, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So it didn't say it was optional to be faithful. It actually says that we are stewards, right? We're stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards of, and the gospel is a mystery to people. We know that if you even just go out once and preach the gospel, or even if you're a silent partner out there, you know that it's just, people just do not get it. You know, they it's like seems too easy for them too. But yet if it's so easy, why doesn't anyone want to believe it? You know, they have a real trouble with it. But we are stewards, and the Bible says it's required of us to be found faithful. And that should give you pause to anyone that would say otherwise, that it's not required to be, you know, attending church regularly. That's not, you know, hey, being faithful, that is an element of being faithful when you actually do the things of God consistently like that, when you do believe the Bible and what it says, right? Of course, you have the talents, the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You can turn there if you want, but where the Lord was evaluating how people use their talents, because every one of us in here is gifted in different ways, and that's part of what makes the body of Christ a beautiful thing, because you got some that are going to be eyes and some that are going to be the hands and some are going to be the feet, you know. But hey, the Bible says that feet are beautiful. If we're going out and preaching the gospel, we have beautiful feet, right? But we're just part of that body of Christ. And the Bible says in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the Bible is saying, that's what we all say we want to hear from God. You know, none of us wants to be just regretting what we did with our short little time that we had on this earth. We do want to be saying that. And it's easy to forget that. But I'm sure that that's going to be called to remembrance when we actually are standing before God. When we're standing before a holy God, I'm pretty sure that, you know, we are going to probably have a little bit of regret. And probably all of us will have that. Anyone who cares about the things of God, even if it's somebody that does a lot for God, I think when you really care for the things of God, you're not trying to pat yourself on the back and you're not doing it to be seen of man. You probably sincerely also think, well, you know, I'm probably still not doing enough. I wish I could do more. I think that's just a natural thing for people that love God to feel like, right? Similar to how the apostles were like, was it me? You know, they all thought it was them that, you know, did something to betray Christ. And, you know, they're always looking inwardly instead of hearing a message and saying, well, that, you know, I know, I sure wish so-and-so were here. Or I wish that somebody else heard this message, instead of just listening to the word of God and just seeing how it applies to you. I think that is a better way to be. And that is what a faithful person, I believe, would be. Somebody that's trying to be a steward to the mysteries of God. But we want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because whether we like it or not, we're a servant. So then you can, you know, determine if you're going to be a faithful one or not, a good and faithful one. Or if you're going to be one that's just going to, you know, be at least in the kingdom of heaven when God gives us that ability to choose that. But you should be wary of anyone that would act like being faithful is a bad thing, or it's an optional thing, or it's a thing that God doesn't really care much about. That's absurd, you know. And the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, because God has gifted us all in different ways, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Because God has just been so graceful to us, we should be good stewards. And then look at verse 2 of Psalm. Always be going back to Psalm 12, but look at verse 2 where it says, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. So the Bible here is saying with vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. And obviously we know that being a flatterer is a bad thing when somebody's just telling you, you know, what they think you want to hear, you know. And I've noticed too that AI is a lot like that. I think a lot of people have kind of figured that out already. You know, I saw a lot of posts early on where people were like, oh, I got Grok saved, you know, like, because Grok just gives you the wrong answer on salvation. And then you start saying, well, you're wrong, Grok, here's some verses. And then Grok changes his mind. Oh, you're right. You know, and then you're like, huh, yeah, look at that. I just taught AI. And just like, you kind of feel, you know, somebody could get a little puffed up about it. But, you know, AI is designed to just tell you what you want to hear. It's designed to be flattering you, basically, right? So it's like, it's probably just designed to get information on us. But, you know, it's funny because we all want to use AI. I kind of joke with my wife about this sometime. You want to use AI when it backs up your point, right? But then guess what? Like, my wife has done this a few times on me where she's just like, well, this is what AI just told me this. And so I go and can get AI to say the exact opposite thing that she just said. So that should tell you right there that, you know, you got to watch what you're believing on AI. I think Brother Bill brought up a good point about there's certain things you just can't fudge, you know. So if it can track some historical type data and things like that, but certain things or nuanced things or, you know, and really, I don't think that the Bible is nuanced, but obviously we know that false prophets twist the Bible. So, you know, Grok's going to be no different because it's pulling from its whatever resources online. And we know that few there be that find it. So the majority of the things that it's going to pull online are probably going to be false, right? But it does flatter you. It makes you feel like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. Oh, man, that was a good point. Wow. And it's just like puffing you up a little bit, right? But, you know, you got to be careful about that. You got to make sure that you really can back things up. That's why, you know, I think it's really best to just study the Bible with your own Holy Spirit, you know, and kind of, but even watch some of the other things you're looking into AI for. You know, I think that it's a little bit of a psyop for us right now. But you're there in Matthew chapter 12. The Bible, this is where it says, I know it kind of highlighted in my Bible, a tree is known by its fruit, which is a true thing there, right? Look at verse 33. The Bible says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So again, you know, you got to watch the kind of things that come out of your mouth, right? Are you going to just be someone that's trying to flatter people with your lips, or having a double heart where you're just speaking, you know, two different things? You know, these people that will try, you know, believe two contrary things and still think it's, you know, one is true. Like we were talking about with the Bible, false versions of the Bible, you know, but every idle word that men speak, they're going to have to give an account thereof. You know, an idle, that just means useless and vain, you know, it's just worthless speech, right? And, you know, false prophets, we see it preaching the gospel all the time. They don't realize that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth all the time. They're using, like, double speak. And, you know, they say, oh, yeah, I believe it's, you know, faith only, but in no works, but you got to have the works. It's like sometimes when they're talking, I don't even see how they're not hearing what they're saying, what's actually coming out of their mouth that is completely contradictory one to another. But, you know, it's because they're not saved. It's because that they don't understand that, you know, and some of them will even try to flatter you too. So, you know, but you definitely have to watch out for people that will try to flatter you, right? And false prophets, man, they do this so much, though, that just saying two things that are contradictory one to the another when it comes to the repent of your sins heresy, right? So back to Psalm 12. So this is where we know that God's going to take care of business and we don't have to worry about the people that are out there and doing things wrong and the false prophets. We already know the end of the book and what happens. But the Bible says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, keep your place in Psalm 12. I'm going to read Proverbs 26, 28, where it says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So a lying tongue, and everybody hates a lying tongue, right? A flattering mouth, it says it works ruin, right? You're there in Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And again, like I was saying, I think that's what AI is doing. It's spreading a net for people. It's just like a net gathers up a bunch of fish. They're just gathering up a bunch of information, plugging it in so they know everything that we think about, everything we do, what we're arguing about, what our arguments are, because we argue with Grok sometimes or with AI sometimes. At least I know I do. I know you shouldn't, but it just says such stupid things sometimes. It's like, you know, you feel like just, I know they don't have feelings, but you're like, that was really stupid. What you just said there, you know, I'm just like, you just want to tell it, you just want to set it straight. But, you know, some of the times I think it does know what the answer. It just is like messing with me. You know, I've tried to get it to change a picture because I've seen people do some awesome things where they like plug a picture into AI and they just make it look so different, or they just kind of do some like almost Photoshop type stuff in there. And like I've tried it and it just made the picture look like retarded. I mean, it was just like totally deformed. I was trying to do some things. I'm like, it looked like a kid drawing, like made alive. I mean, that's what the AI did to mine. And I was like, hey, you seem like you're punking me right now. Because it's like, I've seen some of the stuff that other people do on here. And it's like, maybe I just don't know the prompts. But I'm just telling you, I just think it's AI is a net. It's just trying to spread a net for our feet. You know, because our feet are supposed to be going out and doing the things of God. We're supposed to be going out and preaching the gospel. We shouldn't be all caught up in some of this garbage anyway. But anyway, we're back in Psalm 12. Look at verse 4. It says, Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? So people, you know, again, your words are important, you know, it's like, that's why the word of God is so important. And it's why we're told to preach it, why that's the power behind what we say and do. It's not our stories and our ability to be eloquent and whatever. It's actually the words of God or what are the discerners of the thoughts and intents of our heart. But you know, the thing is, people that are false prophets or people that are contrary to the word of God, this is what they're saying. They're saying their tongue will prevail. You know, our lips are our own. You know, that's that humanistic type mentality I was talking about, you know, this morning. Who is Lord over us? They don't believe there's a God in heaven looking down at the things that they're doing, right? They think we're stupid for believing that. Our lips are our own. They don't think anyone's Lord over them. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We know this is the chapter that we sometimes go to when necessary, even out preaching the gospel, where somebody maybe doesn't, you know, they have an issue with like some pedophile or someone that is like, you know, a homosexual or whatever, that has done something wrong to them, or somebody's been like really abused and stuff, or a mass murderer. They're like, wait a minute, this person can just believe on Christ and get saved. So we like, you know, sometimes it's good to come to this chapter, right? I think there's an absolute reason why it's Romans 1 and Romans road is what we use. It's kind of getting that out there right away, just right out of the gates, right? There's some people that just can't be saved. But here's how most normal people are going to get saved. And you just kind of go from there. But look at starting at verse 18. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And see, it's understood by them. That's why it says here, so that they are without excuse, right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this is what this psalm was talking about. It was talking about vain thinking, right? It's talking about people that said, who is Lord over us, right? Neither, they said that they glorified him not as God. That's the, these are, that's talking about people that when you do this kind of thing, you can be somebody that is, look at verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. What happens? They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, so for doing that, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So they're going to get exactly what's coming to them. And it's not just like some normal sin. It's a sin that's not common to man. It's something that's against nature. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. And, you know, this list is important to just always like look at and go over, because this list can actually be filled with a lot of things that even saved people can do, right? Besides some of the like the faggoty stuff, right? You know, we're not capable of that, but people are, we're able to be wicked. We're able to be covetous. We could be full of envy or maliciousness, right? There could even be even murder with a Christian, right? We know that with King David and some of the examples we use. You don't ever want to be an inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. You know, that's something that seems like to get, we get grief for, because we support that a parent should be, you know, the ones that rule over their children and teach them in the ways that they should go, of course. But if they, everyone has free will. If they choose to go against that, that is their choice, right? But we should never be, as a child should never be disobedient to their parents or without understanding, or covenant breakers, right? Breaking something that you said you were going to do. You know, there's a lot of examples of that in the Bible where God holds us to the covenants that we make. You know, I was just recently reading in the Bible, in that story of Jephthah, always just like, it's just a terrible story where he just makes that oath to God, and his daughter has to die as a result. It's just, it's really sad, but it's just, I think, meant to highlight that God takes it very seriously when we say we're going to do something, right? You know, and really that holds true to a lot of things that I think people take for granted. When you say, you know, I think a lot of people have said certain things about even their faithfulness or even about the things that they believe are true about the Word of God, and then just completely reverse course on it. But the Bible says also in this chapter here, not to be with implacable, unmerciful, because obviously we're not going to be without natural affection. This is talking about a reprobate, who knowing the judgment of God, and this whole chapter is talking about that, but that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we don't want to show any of those attributes that are possible for us to show that line up with like somebody that's been given over to a reprobate mind. And so we always should just be always studying and looking at the Word of God and just loving it and believing it and doing it. Go back to Psalm 12. We're in verse 5 now. It says, For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise. So now God's talking, and people better pay attention, right? The people better, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him, right? And it reminds me too, we're reading we're hearing the kids just want to sing those songs like that Jesus loves me, right? And not that they're poor, but I mean, if you told them to go out and you know, go buy you some groceries or whatever. They're not going to probably have that much money to do it. So really, technically, they are kind of poor. But, you know, the Bible says they are weak, but he is strong. So God is looking out for the poor. He's looking out for the poor in spirit, but he also does look out for the poor people that are just poor in general, too, though. And the sighing of the needy, when people are just like struggling in life, sometimes you can just let out that sigh, you know, and God says he's going to arise. You know, the people that puffeth at them, you know, the people that are mocking you, or the people that blow you, you know, want to blow you off and be arrogant against you. They're like, pfft. You know, that's like somebody's puffing at you. They're like, pfft. They're just like doing that, like they're just against you. They're against God. They hate God. Well, God's going to make that right. God is going to be somebody who sets you in safety. But, you know, you have to be, I think, doing the things of God to put yourself in a position to be protected by God physically on this earth, not for your salvation. Just believing on him is good for that. But there's physical things that we need. There's physical things that God can save us from and protect us from, you know. And sometimes time and chance happens to everybody. But, you know, there are a lot of things that I think we could avoid by doing being faithful, being diligent to seek and love God and love our fellow man. Verse 6 there says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I'm going to just let the verse speak for itself, because I already just kind of fumbled through a sermon preaching on this topic. But, you know, we know that God preserved his word. We know that we do have a Bible that we can count on. We do have a Bible that, an every word Bible. We have a Bible that is just, it's, you know, I was just talking to Brother Alex about it before the service. It's just amazing how much it just lines up. All these different authors that were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak these things, right? Our spirit beareth witness, right, that these things are true too. And that's why that's all we really need. We don't need somebody to explain things to us. We just need the Holy Spirit that's right there in us anyways. But it's amazing how the Bible all just lines up. It agrees with itself. That's why precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We could go all over the Bible and just everything just matches up perfectly, right? All the things that Jesus like fulfilled, it's all of it is just, when you look at just how amazing it is, it's very clearly that it's God breathed, right? And it's been preserved for us forever. It's forever for us. And that's a beautiful thing too. Verse 8, the Bible says, the wicked walk on every side. And here we are, we're already at the last verse, right? Oh, wait, no, it's not. Maybe it is. But I got a lot on this last verse. So we're not quite done, but we're getting there close. But the Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, right? And walking on every side, you know, if you're walking on the left or the right, you know, you're not following that straight path. You're not doing the things of God, right? Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'll read Deuteronomy 5:32. I might have actually had this in my morning sermon, but it says, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." We enter in at the straight gate too, right? So if you're going off to the left or going off to the right, you're typically not doing on the things of God, right? That's why the Bible is saying the wicked are the ones walking on every side. And it says in Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse 20. The Bible says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." And thank you. And the Bible is saying that the Lord, you know, this is interesting that the Lord sometimes, you know, he does let us go through some challenges. It says, "And though the Lord, even if the Lord give you the bread of adversity, right, or the water of affliction," where sometimes he is proving us, right? And he's proving us to see, how are you going to respond, right? Are you going to, you know, just be self-centered? Or are you going to only think of yourself? Are you going to put others before you? Are you going to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Or are you going to just follow what the Word of God says, even if, you know, somebody might be mocking you or scorning you or against you? You know, and it says that your eyes can't see your teachers, right? But your eyes definitely are going to see your teachers if you aren't at church, because we have a pastor who is here to teach us things about the Bible too, and to preach the Word of God to us. And you got to know, who are your teachers? Who are you allowing to influence the things that you believe and do? You know, are the Bible says right in the verse there, right? The vilest men are exalted, right? The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And right now there is a lot of vile men that are exalted, really. And it's pretty sad that we're living in a time where there are so many vile men that do get put on a pedestal. But you know, if they're against the things of God, you should never exalt them. You know, there's certain things too, like, you know, with government or things like that too, where we do have to follow. We're called to be, as Christians, to follow the things of government, right? And they're there to protect us from evil things too. And God did put that in, but you shouldn't exalt them. God always takes precedent in our life. But you shouldn't exalt any podcasters. You shouldn't exalt, you know, anybody. Nobody should be, because there's a lot of wicked people that believe a lot of wicked things that are actually very highly exalted. And it says the wicked walk on every side when that happens. So that's because those men are typically teaching so many different things that are contrary to what the Word of God teaches. They're teaching so many things that are just so opposite to the Word of God, but sometimes it sounds good. Sometimes it like appeals to our flesh. And so we're still willing to kind of give it ear. But if it contradicts the Word of God, then you should just walk away from that, right? Because God did put teachers into our lives. He did say to follow a man of God as he follows Christ, you know, and we want to make sure that we have the right teachers, right? Look at verse 21 in Isaiah 30. I had you in Isaiah 30. We just read verse 20. Now verse 21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." So that's what the preaching is for. It's like, hey, you got to hear that word preached. It's like, hey, you're starting to go to the right hand or to the left. You need to go this way. This is the way you should go. The way that's in this book that we know is preserved. Because again, if it's not preserved, then we aren't going to know the way to go. So God would never do that to us, because God is a loving God. And so we're here to says, hey, your ears should be quick to hear. That's why that we talk about that, like, give us ears to hear. You hear that a lot of time. Men pray that in the beginning of the service, give us ears to hear. But the thing is, you can't just be a hearer, though. We know that too. So you line up the Bible precept among precept. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer too, right? But it says your ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And that's what we want to hear. We want to let those kind of men that are preaching the Word of God be our teachers, right? So that we don't turn to the right hand or to the left. So, you know, we're all prone to get off course, and preaching is meant to tell us that, hey, go this way. You know, you're going the wrong way. You know, you're believing something that's false. Start believing what the Bible says, right? Get back on track, because we're all going to fall. But you know what? We just get back up. Just get back on the horse, you know. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 25. It says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." See, that's what we're supposed to do. Look straight ahead. Look at the Word of God. It's the clear path. It says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So, you know, I asked if Who are your teachers? Who are the people that you're putting or exalting, right? Because that the proof is probably going to be in your actions. You know, are you putting the people that are, exalting the Word of God, or are you doing things from people that are wicked and you're exalting them? You're exalting what wicked men are saying about the Word of God that's contrary to what we know to be true. Don't ever put yourself in God's crosshairs that way, because, you know, God says that when vile men are exalted, you're gonna walk in the wrong direction. And it's easy to do when we have so many people influencing us from day to day in pretty much all areas of our life. Your friends, possibly, you know, or people that aren't saved that you knew in the past, your family sometimes, your coworkers, right? But it should never be coming from people that, you know, you went to church with, or that, you know, you know that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. So you got to, sometimes you got to be careful there too. Titus, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So that kind of speaks to what I preached about this morning too, though, because we talked about the Word of God being pure, but people that just are unbelieving, you know, they don't think that the Word of God is pure. They don't think that it even can be pure, and that their mind and conscience is defiled. So their conscience won't prick them when they're doing things that are contrary to God, because for one, they don't believe it. They're unbelieving. But in verse 16, it says they profess that they know God, because there's a lot of people that do that too. They say they're Christian, but then they don't believe what the Bible actually says about certain things, right? But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. That's a pretty strong statement when the Bible says that your works are going to be what shows that you're denying the things of God, that maybe your teachers are probably the wrong ones that you're listening to, you know, the wrong people if they're telling you to do things. And it says being abominable. So you're doing things that God hates. And obviously that's going to be disobedient. You know, I think it's a sad day and time that we live in when saved people can actually fit that word, this verse, where they're just believing because they're probably listening to the wrong teachers. They're listening to people that are telling them the things that, like, we've probably beat the drum on a lot, like I already said, like church is not important, soul winning is not important, you know, somebody else is going to do it or whatever, on and on and on. And it says that, you know, being abominable, they're doing things that God hates, right? And there's a lot of people that'll do one thing, you know, at church, and then they'll do another thing somewhere else where they're abominable. Maybe they're cross-dressing as a woman or something. That's an easy one to fall in. Or they're doing other things that the Bible says are abominable, that God actually hates. And, you know, I don't think it's ever, you can ever, like, overdo reading the things that God hates. Because, again, a Christian can very often do the things that God hates. James chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation." And that's just your way of life. That's just not your, just what you're saying with your words. "His works with meekness of wisdom." So again, God is looking at the things that we do with our lives and with our time. And he's saying, hey, let that be shown by the way that you live your life. So we should be paying very close, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We should be paying very close attention to the things that God hates, right? Because the vilest men are, we're in a time when the vilest men are exalted. There's nothing new under the sun, so I'm sure it happened, you know, in every generation. But never has there been like a generation like ours, I don't think, where so many people can see what's happening, I mean, all over the world. So you get to see a lot of, you know, vile men. You get to see a lot of diversity of vile men, basically, from all over the world. So, and some of the things God hates, there are in Proverbs. We know these are famous verses. Look at verse 16. It says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." So again, these are things that Christians can do. So we should really take heed. "Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look." So somebody that just gives you that look where they just think they're just like better than you or something, or they're proud, right? They're proud of like these people that are in Tel Aviv now, right? The pride festivals and things like that. A lying tongue. I hate a lying tongue. "Hands that shed innocent blood." That's a no-brainer. Right? "And heart that deviseth wicked imagination." So people that just think wicked things, right? I think that's wicked to think that everybody in the new IFB is not saved. What a wicked imagination is that? "Feet that be swift in running to mischief," right? "A false witness that speaketh lies." That's a horrible thing. The damage that a false witness does is unspeakable. And we're living in a time where that's just really, really rampant, where you have people that are false witnesses that are speaking lies. And these are things that God hates. He that soweth discord among brethren. That's a big one right now, too. People that would just sow discord among brethren when we're supposed to love one another. That's how God knows we're his disciples, right? And, you know, and obviously, we don't have to worry about, you know, one of the other things God hates, but it's still good to kick that dog when it's down. If a man also lie with mankind, in Leviticus 20:13, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And, you know, the tide has been turning with that. So I think maybe it's not getting preached as much, but here we're coming up. We're in May. This year goes by quick. Next month's going to be Pride Month. I'm really hoping for another Pride Month like last month, you know, and you know, in Canada, they recently actually passed something, a law. And I don't know why, sorry that this is, I don't know why it's like getting the feedback, but I popped it up because I saw a post that said that Canada made sections of the Bible illegal and that you could get in trouble or even get thrown in jail for it. But it's not quite like that, but it's kind of like, it's like the gateway to it basically, because they have a bill C9 that passed. And basically, like, quoting certain verses of the Bible, like I just quoted there, Leviticus 20:13, you know, they're okay with you maybe quoting the verse of the Bible or verses that supposedly they say are anti-Semitic or whatever, verses that are against, like, sodomites, verses that are against even, like, adultery, saying it has the death penalty, because obviously adultery is one of those things that's so prevalent in society. So a lot of these things that are that vile men have made just normal, you know, society has tried to make normal, you know, the Bible, when the Bible speaks against those things, it's okay, they say, in good faith, if you're just like reading the verse. But basically, if you express like, they call it willful promotion of hatred. So, it, you know, who interprets that? You can get some judge that just interprets that, you know, in a way that says, hey, if you preach it from the pulpit, then you're willfully promoting hatred. You're promoting, if you sing a psalm that says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. You know, somebody could rat us out if in Canada and say they're promoting hatred. They're singing it with gusto. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Right. So basically they're saying it's okay to read the verse, but just don't believe it. That's kind of essentially, like, if you were to put it in a nutshell, that is where they're going with that. You can't express conviction of it because, you know, they're saying that, you know, you can't willfully or deliberately promote it. So what does that, I mean, again, what does that even mean? There's a lot of things that they could do with that. It basically, what they said and what I read about it is it sort of just takes away an element of protection that Christians had, like a shield, so to speak, right? When we know the word of God is our shield, we just have to stand firm on the word of God, regardless of like a wicked country like Canada is doing to kind of make the word of God illegal for us to believe it. You know, you can read it, just don't believe it. You know, don't let your actions show that you believe it. You know, it's okay that, you know, if we occasionally hear you just ran, you know, reading a chapter of the Bible and that verse comes up and, you know, you're just reading through it. That's okay. But don't preach on the subject or something, right? Don't make it like where you're deliberately supposedly promoting hatred. Well, you know what? The Bible says we should hate the things God hates. So we don't care what other people say about that, right? And, you know, so we want to just make sure that we're just believing the Bible. We're not doing the things that make God angry or things that God hates. We don't want to. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Like I said, you know, the things on abominations, that things that God hates that a reprobate does, we obviously don't have to worry about that. Our job is to worry about the things that God hates that a Christian can easily partake in. And this is one here in Proverbs 17, and I'm almost done here too. But when Christians like hear a railing accusation and they don't call it out or they justify it, you know, or they, you know, so even when it comes from other men of God, I mean, it should, I like when our pastors call that kind of stuff out. People shouldn't defend that kind of thing, right? Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. So when you're somebody that justifies the wicked, just like the Bible says there in Psalm that we were reading there in Psalm 12, that final verse there, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So when you're justifying wicked behavior, or you're condemning just behavior, you know, behavior that is called out as just in the Bible, that God literally hates that. So we don't ever want to be on the side of that for sure as Christians where, you know, we justify wicked behavior, or we justify like railing, or we justify like just things that the Bible flat out calls like wrong to do, right? We don't want to ever do that. And when we live contrary to the Word of God, whether you like it or not, when you're living contrary to the things that God is asking you to do in the Bible, then the vilest men are exalted, or you're exalting vile men because you're putting the things that they believe over the things that God believes, over the things that God says, and over the things that God wants us to do. So we don't ever want to do that. We do want the Bible to be our shield. We don't want to just ever, you know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So we don't want to ever be in the crosshairs of God where we're contrary to the things that he wants us to do. You know, the Bible says that we want to be loving the Word of God. We want to be loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and, you know, loving our neighbor as ourselves. We want to just, which means we're just tied up in what the law is asking us to do. The whole law is summed up in that point. And the Bible is what we should stand on. We don't want to be contrary to the Word of God in any area of our life. And so, you know, we should be thankful that we go to a church that does put God at the head. God is exalted. We sing out to God. That's why this psalm is important. I like that a lot of the psalms call that out, that it's music. And it's music to God's ears when we hear the Word of God, when we do the Word of God, when we sing out to him, and we don't do these things that justify wicked behavior or exalt men that are just against God. So we should love the Word of God, you know, love our church, love the brethren, love our pastor, you know, Sherry, and pray for them because they always have the crosshairs on them. But just be grateful that we get to attend a church that does put the first things first, and that we want to do the things of God and love the things of God. And we should always be that way. Don't ever let your heart just, you know, go to the right hand or to the left when it comes to the things of God and loving the Bible, loving the Word of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the Bible and how much truth we get it, and how much we get also even from the Psalms. I just pray that you would lift up our church, bless us as we go our separate ways, and just bring everybody back that's sick and, you know, just needs your blessing in their life. I pray that you would just help them and just bring us back, you know, when we come to church next. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ramon. And now at this time for our closing song, let's open again one last time into our Red and Green songbooks to 105, All That Thrills My Soul. That is number 105 in your Red and Green songbooks, All That Thrills My Soul.
Oh, how blessed to call him.
And Brother Sean, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Open the hearts of people.